The scripture lesson this morning is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, the temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him again, "It is written, do not put your Lord, your God, to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you know what's in our hearts. Lord, you know what tempts us. You know where those barren places in our lives are, where we are most likely to give in to temptation. But Lord, give us strength this morning. Show us how we might resist the temptation to fall away from you. May my words be your words. May my message be your message. Amen. Well, we began this journey to discipleship last Sunday at the baptismal font, talking about in baptism we are claimed and we discover our true identity, that although we might be fallen people, we are saved by God's grace. And so in Matthew's gospel, we see that no sooner is Jesus baptized than he is driven out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And the wilderness is, it's an alone place, but it's also, for the people of Jesus' time, it was a frightening place because it was filled with evil spirits in their system of belief. And so as I was thinking about that, and thinking about temptation, I was thinking about how I was a couple weeks ago at a seminar on preparedness, what to do in case of emergency. And one of the things that Sergeant Grubbs of the Harrisonburg Police Force kept stressing to us was that you have to have your plan ready ahead of time, because when the emergency comes, you know, you're going to panic and your lizard brain is going to take over, and you want to have it in mind already what the right thing is to do. So imagine that you need an emergency plan for when temptation hits you. How would you evade temptation? How would you resist it? And it's out there, and maybe it's out there in some different ways. I was a few years ago, as I was at a United Methodist Women's breakfast. It was their annual Lenten breakfast a few years ago, and there was a big gathering. We were in a large fellowship hall, and where I was sitting, we were able to see the food, but we couldn't get anything to eat because they were calling us up table by table by table. And so now 40 minutes had gone by, and we were watching people go get led up to the table and going through the line. And I was, my usual breakfast time had gone by already. And secretly, I was beginning to wonder if we were ever going to get up there and eat food. And I was keeping my impatience to myself, because griping about how slow the line's moving at a UMW breakfast seemed wrong, especially for a pastor, maybe unchristian, especially when it's Lent, because, right, you're supposed to be okay with not eating when it's Lent. But my inner grouch was talking to me, and it was unfed and cranky and impatient, and, you know, negative words and thoughts were going through my head. I was annoyed with the head table that got to go up first, of course, and I was annoyed with the man who was wearing a chef's hat, who was doling out the breakfast food so carefully, and like he was plating them, each and every one. I was annoyed with the notion that I could have been at home in my pajamas drinking a hot cup of coffee and having a bagel instead of the lukewarm coffee I was there with. So I was just wallowing in my grouchiness. And I'm not usually a grouchy person. I'm the glass is half full kind of person. But, you know, I had just been kind of worn down by the week and how things were not proceeding. So here I was, and it was just all about me. And I was not being served to my liking, you know? And don't you feel sorry for me? You know, it was so terrible. It was so sad because it was all about me. Well, that made me think about, of course, Oscar the Grouch on Sesame Street. And the thing about Oscar is he really can't be bothered about anybody else or how they feel. It's all about him. And Robert Benson, who's an author, points out that we live in a world where everything is very personal. You know, you can have your very own personal soundtrack that can follow you through life. If you stream it on your device, you know, you can have your own playlist. And if you want to get in shape, you can hire a personal trainer who will come up with your own personal workout, and it'll be tailored to your personal needs. You know that you've made it in the big time if you have a personal assistant at your beck and call. And I found out a number of years ago when I met Carl that if you're really big time, your assistant has an assistant. And I know that sounds weird, but Carl was the assistant to Bernadette Peters' assistant. So that's a thing. And, you know, and maybe you can't afford a personal assistant, but hey, you can afford a personal shopper, maybe, someone to do your shopping for you, to help you discover your own personal style. And there's personal banking and personal pan pizza, and you can visit personal growth centers, and you can discover your own personal values. I mean, why bother with the commandments? Everybody can read those, but you can go and find your own personal values. Okay, maybe that's not the way to go. Maybe we're heading into grouch land and temptation. But in our scripture this morning, Jesus is preparing for his time of ministry, and the Spirit drives him out into the wilderness, this barren place, and he stays there for 40 days and 40 nights. And in scripture, wilderness is a place of testing, especially in the Old Testament. It was in the wilderness that Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai. It was in the wilderness that Israel rebelled against God and an embittered Moses struck the rock of Meribah. It was in the wilderness that God fed the people manna from heaven as they learned to depend on God. And it was in the wilderness where the people of Israel learned what it meant to be people of God through failure and second chances. The wilderness exposes who we are in light of who God has called us to be. You get stripped down in the wilderness to your essential self. It's also the place where the Israelites often gave into temptation and grumbling. It's here that the people turned to making an idol of gold when they thought Moses wasn't coming back. And it's there where God forgave them with a little prompting from Moses for what they had done. So Jesus encounters the devil, who's ready to tempt him. First, he says, why don't you just turn the stones into bread? And we can imagine that after fasting for 40 days, that might be a temptation because Jesus was hungry. But it was also a temptation for Jesus because there were poor people across the continent who were suffering from hunger. And if Jesus started turning stones into bread, not only could he feed himself, but he could begin to feed all the hungry people. And it would be flashy, too. It would make Jesus look good. But maybe that kind of shortcut wasn't such a good idea because the Roman government had already tried something very similar. They would tax the people half to death, and then to curry favor with the poor, they would give out free bread. And Jesus has the bigger picture in mind. His mission is not to quell hunger pains alone. He has come to save souls and feed the people and heal their spirits, not just feed himself and earn a few brownie points. He's come to feed the people on a much deeper level. So for the next temptation, the devil says, let's go up to the highest point at the top of the temple in Jerusalem. And it was said in Jewish literature that when the Messiah came, he would come to the temple. So why not make a big splash with the new ministry and show up there and throw yourself off? And when the angels catch you, everyone will believe in you and they will hail you. It's the temptation to be showbiz Jesus. Put on a big show and you'll have them eating out of the palm of your hand, says the devil. And he might be right. But then what? The world didn't need someone who would make a big splash and catch everyone's attention. We needed to be saved, often saved from ourselves. And the final temptation doesn't need much explanation. Turn away from God, says the devil. Worship me, says the devil, and I will give you the world and everything in it. You can have power. Of course, the world was not the devil's to give. One of the temptations is just to think about the letter I want, I need, I get. And Jesus says, nothing personal, devil, but I'm going to stick with God and help God's people because they are my people. Jesus resisted temptation. The temptation to make life all about oneself can be so persuasive. That idea that if I like it, it must be good. And if you take that to the extreme, I fear that the only company you will find yourself in is me, myself, and I. I have to admit that right now I'm in a complicated place emotionally. My father is in hospice care, and it's probably a matter of days. And I love my dad, but we haven't been a family that says, I love you a lot. But my daughters grew up in a family where we said it a lot. And I have some complicated emotions about my dad, but I was there with dad in his hospital room, and my daughter was leaving, and she said, I love you. And my dad hadn't said very much that day, but you could hear him say, I love you. And a few days later, I was by his bed, and just kind of out of nowhere, even though he hasn't said a lot, he said, I love, love, love. And I could tell he was searching for that last word, but he surprised me. He said, I love, 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 love all of you. And that's what it's all about, right? I mean, yeah, it's complicated, but in the end, it's not about me. It's about us and how we are together. It's about remembering that even when it gets complicated, we're supposed to be people who love God, who love one another. It's about us. Jesus didn't come to be a Las Vegas showman. He wasn't that kind of savior, the kind who did magic tricks with bread and swooped down off the pinnacle of the temple. He came for us. He came to save us from ourselves and show us God's love and heal us from sin. The culture may say it's all about you, or it's all about me. But I'm here to say that Jesus came for the big picture, that it's about all of us, about God's love for us. And so may we remember that as we go through Lent. It's about us. Amen. Well, it is, I tell you, today, this is where I need to be. That reminder as we sing the hymns that there's more to life than this life. Do we have other joys or concerns? All right, well, we keep Bill in our prayers. I'm so glad to hear he has an appointment at UVA. That has been a long time coming. So, yeah, we will just keep praying for him. Other joys or concerns? All right, yay. That is wonderful. And you've seen them already? Is that?
It was a fun ride down to Texas and a long ride home. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm glad. I'm glad to hear that he's back in the States and that he'll be here soon. I know you're glad as well. Other joys or concerns this morning? And we'll pray for all those places. Well, for our own anxiety about, and I hope I haven't added to them, about germs and whatever's going around, but wash those hands. Okay. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, gracious God, we are thankful that when we're in those wilderness places, that we are not there alone, that you go with us, that you know what it's like, even to be tempted to walk away. Lord, when we are tempted, give us strength, give us the ability to love more perfectly, to love as you love. Gracious God, we come together and we pray this morning for those who are facing health issues. We pray that you would give them healing. We are thankful for doctors and nurses and experts. And we pray that those who are in need will connect with those who can help them. Lord, we are thankful for arrivals. We praise you for those who come back to us from far off places. And we pray for our military personnel all over the world. Their service is not easy, and it takes them to far places. But Lord, we thank you for those who are willing to serve. Gracious God, help us to figure out how we can serve your kingdom wherever we might find ourselves. Wherever that might be, we know that you have given each of us a gift. So help us to use that gift well so that we might share your love, that amazing love that came through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might share the light and the hope wherever we go. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our temptations, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Do we have a mission moment this morning? I don't think we do. Okay. Don't forget that in addition to the celebrating the birthdays in between the services, we also have a Progressive Hearts game and baked potato bar this evening at 4:30. So please come and be a part of that. At this time, I invite the ushers to come forward for the morning offering. Let us pray. Gracious God, divine creator, you who made us and breathed life into us, Lord, we ask that you bless the gifts that we are to receive and those who give them. Lord, we know that through you all things are possible. So help us to use these gifts well so that we might share the love of Christ. Amen. So just a few more announcements. The Bum Bash is going to be a progressive dinner March 15th, beginning at 6 p.m. And that following Monday, there's going to be a connection hour.